Welcome to the Faster Podcast by Flow Cycling, the podcast where we talk about anything and everything that makes you faster on your bike. This is episode 28, and today we have Benji Marshall from Today's Plan joining us on the show. Today's Plan is a technology company who provides a coaching platform, cycling analytics, and business solutions for cycling companies. The analytics data in Today's Plan allows you to take a deep look at your training, which allows you to highlight areas for improvement. If you are working with a coach, Today's Plan streamlines the communication between you and your coach, making your training even more effective. Listen to this episode to learn how these features of Today's Plan and many more can make you a faster cyclist. Hey, this is Chris with Flow. When we're not producing this podcast, our team at Flow is designing some of the fastest carbon fiber bicycle wheels in the world. As a thank you for being a listener of our podcast, Faster by Flow, we wanted to offer you 20% off your next purchase of wheels at flowcycling.com. Head over to our website and pick up a set of wheels to make you faster at your next race or ride. Simply use coupon code PODCAST, that's PODCAST, in all uppercase letters when checking out to get 20% off your order. Thanks again for listening to Faster. We hope you enjoy the show. All right, Benji, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, guys. Great to be here.
Awesome. And you are joining us from the east coast of Australia, is that correct?
That is correct, from down here in Canberra. It's the middle of winter here, but for us.
Ah, nice. We're in the middle of summer, so we're hot and you're nice and cool. How long have you been down there in Canberra? You spent your whole life there?
No, I haven't actually. I've been in Australia my whole life. I've lived sort of in Canberra now for about 8 years. First came down here for university or college, I think, as you guys call it, and then haven't left since. So still here today.
Perfect. All right, man. Well, thank you for coming on the show. I think this is going to be a really interesting episode. So just to give the listeners a little bit of an idea of why we're going to do the show. So I got back into cycling about a year ago. I'd been off the bike for about 5 years. And my first objective was simply just to increase my hours per week in an endurance heart rate zone. So I wasn't doing any intensity, no intervals, just easy riding, basically extending the amount of time I was riding a bike during the week. After a few months, the competitive bug came back and I got into some racing. And for the first while, I was improving as I was tracking all of my training by hours. But eventually I saw myself plateauing. So I read a book by an author named Joe Friel, and his book is called The Cyclist Training Bible. And it was a pretty eye-opening experience reading that book. I learned a lot from reading that book, but I think one of the most important things I learned from that book was the importance of using and understanding training stress. So for those who are listening who don't know what training stress is, I'll give a very simple example to help try and explain it. So if you go out and you ride your bike really easy for 1 hour, that puts a relatively small amount of physical stress on your body. So you'll finish that ride not feeling really tired or exhausted in any way, and you could probably repeat the effort. In contrast, if you go out for 1 hour and you ride your bike as hard as you can for 1 hour, that's going to put a much higher amount of physical stress on your body, and you'd finish that ride feeling exhausted and unable to complete the effort again right away. So what does this mean? It means if you are only using hours to track your training, you really aren't getting the full picture of how much training stress you're putting on your body and how that stress is affecting your body. So I personally think that a large percentage of athletes who are riding bikes really know very little about training stress that they're putting on their body. So my goal for this show is to talk about training stress and some other metrics that cyclists can use to track their training. And we'll learn not only how you can track your fitness, but your freshness and recovery with some of these metrics. So the reason we've got you on the show today, Benji, is because Today's Plan, the company that you work for, has some of the best software on the market for tracking your training. And we figured you'd be the perfect guest to help walk us through how analytic software can help make us faster as cyclists. So to start the conversation off, just to start the conversation off, let's just start with having you give us the basic explanation of what training stress is in your world.
Yeah, so I guess The training stress can be measured in a number of different ways. It's a pretty evolving topic of discussion. There's a lot of smart people out there that are basically constantly discussing and innovating different ways in which we can measure this. One of the more commonly used methods is the training stress model, or TSS model, as a lot of people probably know it by. Ultimately, it is just a combination of taking the duration of an activity as well as the intensity. Now, the intensity of an activity is measured based upon a person's threshold. So the simplest way for people to probably understand this is if you went out and rode, say, at threshold for an hour, you would receive a score of 100. And basically, that's added up to give you a total training stress score.
Perfect. Okay. So training stress, from what I can gather, is kind of like the three bears. You can, I don't know if you have that story down in Australia, but you can have not enough training stress, too much, or just the right amount. Can you talk a little bit about not having enough training stress and what impact that will have on your training and your fitness?
Yeah, sure. So I guess not enough training stress is the biggest thing for people to probably understand is large fluctuations in your training are generally the primary cause of injury and illness. Now, if we're talking about not enough training stress, basically you want to be, the higher you can increase your training stress load, the more room to move you have. So as a good guide, we generally, a lot of coaches will generally tell people a 10% swing from week to week is a good way in which you can vary your training. So ultimately, if you increase that baseline training load, you're going to have more room and be more resilient as an athlete to future training coming up.
Okay.
Cool. So on the contrary, if we have too much training stress, what type of impact will that have on your training and your fitness?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess two things to sort of consider here. People often refer to training stress and overload as non-functional and functional overreaching. So functional overreaching is ultimately where you're stressing your body to the point that you are able to recover from that. And ultimately gain fitness, become stronger, improve your cycling, so to speak. Non-functional overreaching is kind of where we're getting into this too much training stress. And that's where you get to the point where you've trained yourself so much that you can't simply recover from the training you've been doing in a matter of days. It's gonna take you an extended period to recover from that training stress. You know, see things like injury, illness, so they're generally a lot of the things we see with too much training stress.
And if you have just the right amount then of training stress, what happens to the cyclist?
Well, that's a very good question, guys. The right amount of training stress, that is one of the hardest things to judge. and I guess, again, you could probably say that is pretty well constantly evolving. You as a rider and the coaches, if you have a coach, so to speak, it's their challenge is to get that training stress perfect for you. So you could probably start, well, you could probably almost go from the event and work backwards, or the goal in this. So if you've arrived at your event or your goal feeling in your best condition you have throughout the last period of training, you could argue you've had the right amount of training stress. So Okay. Yeah, that's not the best explanation. I certainly get that. So some good things to kind of aim for is consistency in your training. If you can be consistent and have some gradual progression, they're two very important factors, which if you do them right, you are going to have a pretty good result at the end of the day.
Perfect. Excellent. They always say finding the perfect training stress is almost impossible, but it's always better to be 5% undertrained than 5% overtrained, because if you're overtrained, you're in trouble.
Absolutely.
Okay, so look, I know this one's going to be a very vague question, but bear with me. I just want to talk about how much training stress an athlete should have over the course of a week or a year. And I know it's tough to say for every ride. I know different riders are going to be different. So can you give us maybe some baseline or simple examples for beginners, amateurs, and then your high-level amateurs or elite riders of how much training stress per week or per year you'd see those athletes doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, yeah, everyone is different, guys. You've touched on that point there, and that is a big thing there. Other things to consider. Now, I'll just stick to cycling in this example. But you do have, if we're using cycling as an example, off-bike training as well as on-bike training. Now, for the purpose of this, we'll just use on-bike training. So generally speaking, someone who's a beginner might be looking at, say, I'll say 30 hours a month. I'll use a month as a guide. So up to 30 hours a month for a beginner, someone getting into it. Now, then you're kind of moving to your sort of amateurs, age group type people. You can be dealing with anywhere from, say, 30 to 60 hours a month of training.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you've kind of got the high level amateurs moving up into sort of 60 to 90 hours per month. And then if you're starting to look towards World Tour riders, even that pro continental level rider, upwards of 90 hours a month, almost. At the very least for those guys. But yeah, like I do say, it is very dependent upon the individual. So there's some good guidelines there.
Okay, and as far as TSS goes, do you have any TSS numbers that you could link to those?
Yes. So we could probably try and as a weekly sort of guide.
Yep.
TSS numbers, if we're looking at the pros, those guys, depending on what phase of training they're in, they're probably consistently going to be up around that 1,000 plus. Per week, whereas a beginner, they might be down around that sort of 400 to 300 TSS per week.
Okay.
But again, that is very dependent upon an athlete's threshold, if it's set correctly, number of factors there. So again, I like to stick to mainly just hours per month, as that's a very general guide, and yeah, users can start there.
Perfect. Okay. So in order to get better, you have to increase your training over time. So just like if you're in the gym and you're lifting weights, if you're always bench press 100 pounds, you're not going to get stronger unless you go to 125 and the 150. So training stress is really the same kind of thing. But if you increase your training stress too quickly, you risk overdoing it. So can you give us any advice on how much an athlete should increase their training stress, every year? Maybe as an example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, guys, I'll probably make it a little bit smaller time here. I think a year, particularly for those new to training or structured training, it's generally a big sort of almost too big of a thing for them to sort of comprehend. So I would almost set yourself weekly or monthly goals. Work in those smaller periods and then increase from there. The general rule, I think I've already touched on before, that we use is probably that 10% swing per week. So if you're looking to increase your training, progressively overload, look at that 10% increase. On that, make sure you do factor in a number of rest periods throughout the season. So if you do want to look at a yearly sort of block, I'll be looking at having, say, 3 rest periods per year. But yeah, using that 10% rule as a good guide for fluctuations.
Okay, and in your opinion, what is a rest period? What quantifies a rest period?
Yeah, so I guess there's two different ways in which when people say rest period, we're talking about there. So the first is just completely, again, if we stick with cycling, just not touching the bike for a period of time. Not only physical, but mental. It is very taxing training for extended periods of time. And if you are not taking those rest periods and even taking a week or two just completely off the bike throughout the year, you're probably going to plateau, lead to that burnout, all those nasty things there. The other way we can sort of do is still riding, but much reduced training load. It only has to be for a week or two, but we're looking at probably 40% reductions in your training load for those significant rest weeks. So.
Perfect. Okay. Awesome. So now that we know about training stress, let's get into talking about today's plan, the software. So it's a lot of things, and we'll try to cover all of those here today, but let's start by just having you give us the quick elevator pitch version of what today's plan is.
Sure. So we are an Australian-based sports technology company providing coaching tools, analytics, and business solutions for coaches, athletes, and industries in the endurance sport network. We're 5 years old and work with some of the world's leading teams and athletes, particularly in the cycling space, Trek Segafredo and Team Ineos.
Nice. So you guys are currently working hard on the tour right now.
That's right. That's right. It's been good watching this year. So, but we get to help those guys out.
That's really cool. Okay. So when it comes to training stress, there are three key metrics that a lot of people talk about, and those are chronic training load, acute training load, and training stress balance. And today's plan tracks and charts all of those very, very well. So can you talk about those three metrics by telling us what they mean and how an athlete can use those to make them faster?
Yeah. So I guess starting with the basic definitions, right? So CTL, chronic training load. A lot of people, as a general rule, refer to this as your fitness. Now, I'm going to say that can be a good indicator, but there are a number of things to be aware of, which I might get to later on in this chat. But just to keep things simple, it is ultimately your TSS number. Chronic train load for the last 42 days is a rolling average. Then if we look at ATL, so acute training load, people refer to this as your fatigue in some ways, or and that is your basically your TSS number, rolling average for the last 7 days. Then we refer to training stress balance, which is ultimately the difference between your CTL and your ATL. People generally look at that as a guide of whether they're training too much or too little.
Okay, so one of the first things I noticed after I added all of my training data to today's plan was that my training stress had flatlined for quite a period, which really explains the plateau that I was seeing. So in order to improve your fitness, we've talked about this, but you have to increase your training stress over time, and the rate at which people call that, or the term they use to describe that, is known as your ramp rate. I know you've mentioned the 10% rule, but can you talk about how we can correlate the 10% rule and ramp rate to see what maybe an optimal ramp rate may be inside of the software?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess if we just want to look at a sort of hard ramp rate, I guess you'd say. So the ramp rate is ultimately how much you're increasing your CTL on a weekly basis. If you've got a CTL of 40, basically looking how much you can increase that to the following week. Now, there's a lot of literature out there. Some people say you can look to increase it by just 2 or 3 points a week as a conservative approach, and then others are sort of saying you can go up towards the 8 or 9. Now, as a good guide, I would say somewhere between 4 and 8 points a week is generally a pretty good guide. Now, that is hugely dependent upon the individual. It does vary quite a lot, but my suggestion would be start small. So start with just 3 or 4 points increase per week. Make sure you are scheduling those rest weeks, and see how you respond to that. Just be aware that your training will add up over time, so to speak. You'll build fatigue as you go throughout your training. So you may increase that first week by 5 points and think, great, I'm set. I can keep going. I can increase further. And then you get to the third or the fourth week and you're starting to fall into a bit of a hole. So start conservative, stay conservative for a good 3-4 week period and see how you respond to that.
Perfect. That's great advice.
Can CTL, ATL, TSB, or ramp rate tell us when we might be overdoing it?
Yes, they certainly can, but there are a number of other factors. But yes, the using the TSB as a guide, we sort of, to simplify it right down, a lot of people basically say if you've got a negative TSB, say -5, that means you're a little bit fatigued. If you've got a TSB of 0, you're just right, you're ready to continue training. If you've got a TSB in the positive, say +5, +10, then you're probably ready for some harder training. Now, they are very, very basic guidelines, right? And there are a number of other external factors to consider, things like your work environment, how much sleep you've had, as well as some of the sort of environmental factors, such as if you're training at altitude or if you're training in high temperatures. Look to include those as well. I probably will touch a little bit more on them later on. But yeah, they TSB, CTL, and ATL can certainly help guide you.
Cool. Awesome. All right, let's jump into some of the other features of today's plan. One of the cool things that you can do with today's plan is track how your fitness is improving. Can you talk a little bit about some of the key performance metric trackers that you guys have built into today's plan and how users can benefit from those? And one example that comes to mind from what I've seen with the software is the peak power curve. So can you talk a little bit about that and maybe some of the other features that you have built in?
Absolutely. So, yeah, we do have a number of features, guys. Now, as you touched here, that peak power curve is certainly one of them. There's a few different options in there, including peak watts per kilo as well. Now, our platform can be used with heart rate, can be used with power, or it can be used with a combination of both. If you are training with power, you can certainly have a lot more access to the various tools and really dig into some of the numbers. So one other key tool that we've developed is the Performance Index, or PI. That was developed by a guy known as Dr. Daniel Green. He's worked for a number of the World Tour teams. He's currently working for Dimension Data. Basically, it is ultimately aimed to simplify the way you look at your power numbers and whether you're improving over time. So it's broken down into 8 key areas, 4 of those being sort of your anaerobic contribution, so some of your shorter peak powers, and then 4 of the aerobic, so some of your longer peak powers. Correlates that with your weight and ultimately ends up giving you a score for each of these 8 areas. That score is then put into a number out of 1,000. And you can ultimately track that over the course of the year. And you can sort of say, hey, I was increasing my number up to my goal and I hit my peak on my goal. And I was performing quite well then. Or you can also say, hey, it was declining. What was happening there? What were some of the things leading to that? So that is a very good performance metric for those training with power. Other tools we do have, guys, for those training with a combination of power and heart rate. So we look at our average power by heart rate test. So you're ultimately looking at your efficiency and how that's improving throughout a period of time. Now, you can set these custom time periods, but you can see from year to year whether, as an athlete, you're becoming more aerobically efficient on your bike. So they are probably two of our more favoured tools, I would say, and more popular ones. But yeah, there's a number of tools out there that we have that ultimately allow you to dig into as much data as you like.
Perfect. All right, that's great. Now I've used the heart rate power one too. That's a pretty cool feature to see how that works. So it's a good one. So okay, let's jump into the training program side of today's plan. So you guys not only have all this like training analytics stuff, but you also have a full training program side of today's plan. So I have to say, before we talk about this, that you guys have done an absolutely outstanding job at developing the training plan features of today's plan. I've been using it, and it's awesome. It's easy to use. So in today's plan, training plans come in three flavors. So we'll talk about all of them. But the first is you have today's plan automatically build you a training plan. So the feature is really cool. You start by putting in a goal with some performance metrics and a few additional questions that today's plan asks. And then the software automatically fills in your training calendar with a training plan. So can you tell us a little bit about the logic that goes into developing your training plans and what an athlete can expect by following a today's plan training plan?
Sure, yeah. So our training plan generator was kind of developed almost as a stepping stone to a coach, you could say. So we ultimately wanted to make structured training available for as many people as possible. And we do find it works as a fantastic introduction to coaches. We have a lot of our users that will follow one of our auto-generated training plans and then go on to one of the many coaches on our platform. So it is fantastic for that. Now, we ultimately have a number of different factors that we ask people and take into consideration. So we ask for their availability, their ability as a cyclist, and then we also look at things like their equipment as well as their goal, as you mentioned there before. And then we ultimately generate a training plan based on those, and that athlete can follow that training plan through. There's videos attached with those workouts, and yeah, there's no personalized feedback to it, but that's where a coach kind of steps in, and I think that's probably the big reason why we see it as a stepping stone to coaches, because athletes get an idea of what's involved in structured training, they see the progress they make, but then they want that personalized feedback, and that's when they move on to a coach, we find.
Excellent. Are there any different types of training plans, for example, threshold training plans or polarized?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question. So the majority of our training plans, I guess you could argue there's elements of various different, could be polarized, could be a traditional method, but primarily they are based on the traditional periodization model method. So ultimately, gradual progression over a period of time, followed by an easier period, and then building upon that. Is probably the best way of describing that, to keep it simple. And yeah, we have those in terms of the actual plan. We have it for cycling, but we also have them available for running a triathlon as well.
Awesome. So you talked earlier about today's plan working with a coach. How does today's plan specifically help you communicate with your coach?
Yeah, so as we sort of touched on a little bit there, guys, the communication with your coach is a big focus point for us. Coaches in general are a big focus point for us. Now, the big sort of one big feature of our platform is our internal inbox that we've built. So that ultimately allows you to communicate with your coach inside today's plan. There's alerts that get fired and notifications through the app as well as to your external email as well. So you can communicate directly with your coach or within today's plan. We've also got extensions of that, such as subjective ratings and various alerts. So good example is we have a number of subjective ratings within the site, which can be configured, but ultimately an athlete can wake up in the morning, they can fill out how they slept, how they're feeling, their fatigue. That will send an alert to their coach based on various settings the coach has, and that coach can basically reply straight to that and say, hey, you just checking in, are you okay? So basically really improving that touch point between the athlete and the coach to make sure you are regularly in touch with each other. Then from that, we've got things such as reports. So generating reports, from a coach perspective for the athletes, and then basically saving them inside today's plan to review at a later date. And then we've got other extensions such as medical or travel arrangements. All of these can be logged in today's plan. Alerts can be sent. So ultimately, coaches can be coaching their athletes anywhere around the world using our system.
Okay, so you guys also, the third flavor of coaching inside of today's plan is the self-coaching option. I've actually been using that program myself a little bit, and there are several features in there that I think are really, really amazing. So to start, I would like to say I'm basically trying to sell your software for you, but for starters, your workout builder is one of the easiest ones that I've used. It's so intuitive. You just put your workout together and it works. Anything that you pre-plan on your calendar easily interfaces and syncs with Google Calendars, iCal, or whatever, which is a really cool feature. And then when it's time to do your workout, you can basically just drag and drop the workout file into Trainer Road or programs like Zwift, and the program just appears, and all you have to do is hit start, and you're following exactly the program that you built or your coach has built. So I can't recommend that part of the software enough. It's a really cool feature. So I've talked about some of the really cool parts of self-coaching, but is there anything else about the self-coaching platform part of the software that you might be able to talk about? And maybe one example of that could be the workout library that you guys have already built into the software.
Yeah, for sure, guys. And appreciate the sell all about it. So
yeah, no, dude, it's really cool software.
Yeah, good. No, our workout library is definitely a big one for the self-coached athlete. We do have a number of our workouts which we've developed, which you can clone, you can use for yourself. This is also available for anyone who uses our platform. So we've got up to 1,000 different workouts in there at the moment. We are constantly adding to that as well. So those workouts are there for you to use and add. You've talked about how they interact with a number of third parties as well. So whether that be the drag and drop for people like Trainer Road, or whether it's the automated process for things such as Wahoo for out on the road, or Zwift as well, where it's automated, as well as those on-screen prompts. So you can leave sort of notes for intervals, and those will appear on Zwift or whatever your device you're following on. So you can basically set prompts for yourself while out there training. The other aspect we have as well, guys, is probably the analytics and the level that you can dive in there. So we have a very sort of configurable platform to ultimately allow a user to use it how they like. If you want a super simple approach, you can turn a lot of things off and you can keep it very simple. You just see the things that you want to see. If you do want to dive into all the detail, you can absolutely do that as well, which probably leads into our dashboards being one of the more analytical features for those who want to use them. And you can basically track things from performance metrics right through to various wellness things. So if you're wearing devices such as Garmin's that are tracking your sleep, your resting heart rate variability, you can track all of those things in today's plan and how they evolve over time, as well as things such as your subjective ratings. So those things I talked about before where you rate how you sleep, your mood, those types of things. So you can quickly start to pick up on some of those trends that's happening throughout your training ultimately lead to better performance for you on race day or whatever your goal might be.
Perfect.
Is there anything about today's plan that we're missing that you can tell us?
I think we've touched on a little bit, guys, but our coaches are a big part of us, for us. So okay. Ultimately, our platform was developed based one of our families was a coach himself. And so a lot of the tools you see in today's plan are for coaches. They... Sorry, guys. Lost my train of thought. Yeah, so our tools are developed for coaches. You see those communication tools within the platform, but also you'll see a number of different configuration options that ultimately allow a coach to bring their training methodology to life. So hugely configurable, and allows them to deliver a tailored experience to their athletes as well. So while it's developed for coaches, the athletes do benefit from these added features as well. And then another aspect, I think, guys, which a lot of people probably don't see too much of, are the business solutions we have for industry or large-scale projects. So ultimately, we have for those people or developers out there, we have close to 1,000 public-facing APIs, which ultimately allow people to link in with our software, utilize wow. our sort of data crunching, analytics, and develop their own sort of branded version of today's plan. So that is a big thing which we don't necessarily market, and the day-to-day user probably wouldn't even know that. But one example is Stages Cycling and Stages Link. We've sort of helped develop software with those guys, and that's a big part of today's plan that isn't too well known, purely because you don't see today's plan. You see the branding of whatever business or industry partner we're working with there.
How about the future of today's plan? Is there anything you can tell us about the future, things you're working on?
Yeah, so probably as a good guide, sir. We see at the moment coaches are constantly being challenged by the ever-evolving technology and almost tools available for the self-coached athlete. So that's while they are being challenged by that, they are also being provided with a number of different solutions as well as new options that just haven't been possible before. So we are looking into that as well as seeing various options for the self-coached athlete and how they can potentially interact with coaches or how they can interact with other clubs or members within today's plan. So they are just some of the things we are thinking of at the moment, guys, and as if you have been on today's plan for a little while, you've probably seen we are pushing updates pretty regularly to our platform. So plenty in the pipeline. That's a good guide of what we have coming up for the future.
Perfect.
Awesome.
You mentioned the coaches in your system, and I'm going to throw a new question at you here, but is there a way for an athlete who's maybe on a self-coach plan to go into today's plan and look at a list of coaches that they could potentially work with? Is that an option, or do you just find your coach and hope they already use today's plan? How does that work?
Yeah, so what we suggest there, guys, is email our support team. Just drop a line to support@todaysplan.com.au. You can give us some information about yourself. We'll probably ask some questions for you. And then we will provide you with a list of coaches that best suit your needs and wants on our platform. So we normally give you a pretty extensive list of up to 10 different coaches, and then you can choose from that. But strongly recommend if you want to get in touch with a coach, just drop us an email and we can definitely put you onto one of our many coaches.
That's cool. Awesome. That's a really cool feature. All right, you don't have to answer this one if you don't want, but your biggest competitor is likely Training Peaks. Can you talk a little bit or any way about how you compare to Training Peaks?
Absolutely, guys. You are correct. Training Peaks is certainly a big competitor for us. They have been around for a long period of time. Absolutely, and arguably they were probably the ones who started in this industry. However, we compare in quite a few different ways and a few key sort of differences. I think one we've already talked about, those public-facing APIs, having almost 1,000 of those ultimately allows us to interact and basically provide solutions to people if they want to develop their own platforms and utilize our systems. So The communication as well is a big thing, guys. That internal inbox and the various alerts which get fired, they are very big touch points or winners for us in that regards. And then we talked about the subjective ratings and the configurability. So we allowing ultimately coaches to tailor what they deliver to their athletes, as well as tailor what they deliver to their other associate coaches. So for those coaches who are working with multiple different coaches, they pretty much can create their own environment within today's plane, and it will just be their environment. So they are some of the very key differences. I could go on for quite a while, but I'll cap it at that.
All right, that's fair. Yeah. Okay, so we're getting close to the end here, but we have a famous question on the show, and we call it the Watt Point question. And the idea is, if the listener follows all of the advice given by the expert on the show, how many watts will that add to your FTP? So we always use a cyclist with a 300-watt FTP. So let's give two scenarios. We've got a guy who has absolutely no window into his training. He just goes out and ride his bike. He's not thinking about how much training stress he's doing. He doesn't know what his CTL, ATL is. He just rides. Now he comes in. He uses today's plan. He's got some good metrics going on. He has a good view of what he's doing with his training. How many watts is that worth to a 300-watt FTP?
That's a very good question, guys. Do I have to give my contact details as well? No, to answer your question,
I will give you a year.
I would pretty confidently, to pretty confidently answer that question, I would say you're looking between 30 to 40 watts, if you are able to be consistent, and follow a training plan that is sustainable for you. So keep it consistent, stay sustainable, and you're looking at probably 30 to 40 watts over a 6 to 12 month period.
Wow, that's a big number for this show, so I like the sounds of that. Cool. All right, man. Well, this has been a really interesting episode. Where can people find out more about today's plan? How do they sign up? How do they start using the software?
Absolutely. Todaysplan.com.au is the website, guys. You'll find a lot of things there. Also recommend checking out our YouTube channel, as there's a lot of cool clips on there for people we work with, but also how to get the most out of our platform. As for signing up, you can do that through the URL I mentioned there. Get a 7-day trial period, and make sure you get in touch with us at support@todaysplan.com.au. And we can certainly help you get set up and make sure you get the most out of the platform.
Perfect. All right, awesome. Benji, can't thank you enough for coming on the show. This has been an awesome episode. And if you can get some people 30 to 40 watts, you're going to have a lot of happy customers.
Nah, thanks for having me, guys. It's been a pleasure, and I really appreciate it. Good luck with
that. All right, take care, man. Great chat with you.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, this is Chris with Flow. When we're not producing this podcast, our team at Flow is designing some of the fastest carbon fiber bicycle wheels in the world. As a thank you for being a listener of our podcast, Faster by Flow, we wanted to offer you 20% off your next purchase of wheels at flowcycling.com. Head over to our website and pick up a set of wheels to make you faster at your next race or ride. Simply use coupon code PODCAST, that's PODCAST, in all uppercase letters when checking out to get 20% off your order. Thanks again for listening to Faster. We hope you enjoy the show. Thank you for listening to this episode. Be sure to listen to episode 29 for an interview with Alt Red to learn how a patented beet extract can help you become a faster cyclist. If you enjoyed the show, please help us by sharing our podcast and by leaving a rating or review. If you want to learn more about our company, Flow Cycling, please visit us online at flowcycling.com. That's F as in Frank, LOCYCLING.com. You can also find us under Flow Cycling on Facebook and Instagram. Until next time, ride safe.